Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you with it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. You know what to do. The whole world's watching and counting on you. And all you people listening out there, everybody, everywhere.
Hang on, hang on, hang on!
Welcome to Checkered Past, a loving postmodern examination of the Go-Go Check branded comic magazines published by DC Comics between February 1966 and August 1967. I'm Dr. Bob, and each week I'll be your guide on this trippy tour through 535 mid-century masterpieces of graphic noveldom.
This week, Plastic Man number 3. Cover date March-April 1967. Cover price 12 cents. Cover artist Joe Orlando. Edited by Murray Boltonoff. Featuring The Biggest Wheel in Town. Written by Arnold Drake. Art by J. Winslow Mortimer. Are you ready? Are you with it? Then away we go-go.
If you're walking in the shadows, then it's time that you get wise. Just forget about your troubles and open up your eyes. When you wear a smile, the world will shout, hooray! You gotta turn on the sunshine, you're gonna push the blues away.
Plastic Man crashes a party aboard a yacht in order to see Michelin Duluth III. The party is interrupted when the Duke of Wheelington stakes a claim to the ship's steering wheel, and in fact, every wheel in the world. Wheelington claims that his ancestor, Urgly the Ugly, invented the wheel in the Stone Age, so he owns the patent rights. Confused? Don't worry, I'll be right back with Dr. Husband to explain everything.
Left my sweetheart a long time ago. She cried and she pleaded and begged me not to go. We had a quarrel, I started in to roam. Big wheels, carry me home. Oh, big wheels are rolling, carry me back. I know my baby's waiting down by the railroad track. I can see old drivers, I hear old whistle moan. Big wheels, carry me home.
Mr. Bojangles.
Mr. Bojangles.
I was reminded today of the Saturday Night Live skit where Natalie Cole sings with all her dad's dead old friends.
Dead friends, yeah.
And the way Ellen Cleghorn says, Mr. Bojangles, just made me giggle all day long. You can look it up. It's on YouTube, audio only.
It's fantastic.
But you can find it if you dig deep enough.
Yeah. Look up Saturday Night Live. Natalie Cole sings with all her dad's dead friends.
That's what I did. And I found a YouTube video. It was just audio only. And
you're kidding. I've seen it dozens of times.
So have I. But they have not put it on YouTube.
Oh, my.
I know.
Oh, it's fantastic.
What's a fella got to do to find something entertaining?
That was from the 80s. Probably 87.
Probably, yes. Yeah,
the best. So, I mean, actually, we've had some great years since then, but those were great years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hey.
Oh, hi.
How you doing?
Well, great.
Yeah? You look great. I love that color on you.
I'm wearing a Robin branded hoodie, as in Batman and.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the kids love it at school.
Do they?
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm leaving town, as you know. It's a sad day for us all.
I'm very sad.
But hey, listener, if you happen to be in Helena, Montana, Halloween weekend, come on out. Hear me sing songs about death.
Is that true?
Well, yes. It's All Souls weekend. So.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
It's what we're celebrating, not these pagan rituals that the lefty loonies make us celebrate.
When are you dropping this? Before the weekend?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool. So then if you happen to be in town and you want to hear something different here locally.
This is the Eastern Panhandle of West Virginia.
In Shepherdston, Trinity Episcopal Church is going to have a choral evensong on Sunday at 5 for All Souls.
Sunday, November 2nd.
Yes, Sunday, November 2nd at 5. So, and I'll be singing in that.
Well, I'll wish you luck from across the country.
I'll miss you while you're gone.
Well, I'll be back, or I won't, if the air flight controllers go off the job.
Oh, God. That's a possibility.
I know.
Yeah.
Don't think I haven't considered it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll all work out, or it won't, as my mother would say.
Well, we're in that time of year where it gets dark. You know, the days are shorter, and it's going to continue to get shorter.
I have a bone to pick with America.
What?
When I was a child, they did the turned the time back on Columbus Day weekend, and then you had time to get used to it. And now they wait till after Halloween because of Big Candy lobbied for it.
Uh-huh.
And now it's already getting dark at 5 o'clock, and then they drop daylight savings, and what do you know?
Yeah.
It's always dark.
Yeah, so sundown tonight was at, let me see, because I came home and went for a walk, and I was like, oh my God, I've got to get in the road. And I wore my reflective thing with my little vest and with my lights, because I knew that I was going to be getting home just as it went dark. Sunset was at 6:12. So as of after this next weekend, it'll get dark at 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Butler.
The dog just farted. Listener, it's really bad.
Yeah, I've got to change his diet, I think. It's so, yeah, it's bad.
Where were we? Complaining about the government?
We're complaining about the daylight savings time changing. I'm not happy about that. This is the time of year when I get up in the morning. I get up about an hour before you do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I turn on all the lights downstairs, all the big lights, not the lamps, but I just turn, you know, all the light switches on because I need light. I need like, and I'm old, so I don't, you know.
Right.
But I do like, this is the time of year when I just turn everything on. And then if I have time, I will take a little bit of time in the morning. I do like one thing.
What?
I love watching the sun come up this time of year.
Because,
it's beautiful. And I take the dogs for a walk, and I'll see the sun come up. And then I'll, if I have time, I'll sit out for a few minutes on the front porch because, you know, our front porch faces east.
Mm-hmm.
And just let the light sort of warm me a little bit.
So. Why don't you get one of those sun lamps?
I've been thinking about a light for my work or something that just something that
one of those mood enhancing lights like they have in Sweden.
Goodness.
What's going on now?
Oh, there's somebody creeping by in their car in the front.
Yeah, so I'm not a fan. Also, I got spoiled because I grew up on the west side of the Eastern time zone, and so it was always lighter later.
Yes, yeah, 5 hours driving, 5-6 hours driving distance from where we are right now.
Everything was better in my childhood, is what I'm saying. Including comic books.
Okay. Right?
Well, yes.
When speaking of comic books, we've got a Plastic Man today.
Plastic Man. It's new. It's fantastic. And it's Plastic Man number 3.
Mm-hmm.
I love the cityscape on the cover.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Not elastic or plastic, but fantastic.
On the cover, Plastic Man. Well, let's see. There's a... there's a fire in a building,
yes.
And Plastic Man has made himself into a ladder for...
For what?
What's the girl's name?
Michelin Duluth.
Michelin Duluth. I never would have remembered that. I should have written that
She's
down.
A buxom gal.
Because the building's on fire.
Yes.
And he's being fired upon by an evil villain.
Yes.
But I don't remember if this guy even appears in this.
He does. It's a... Well, I don't want to spoil the ending.
Okay. All right.
Cover by Joe Orlando. I guess we'll have to credit him with the futuristic cityscape.
Mm.
Are you ready?
I'm with it.
All right. What invention is most basic to civilized man's existence? No, not the zip-top soda can. Sorry. It's not the electronic yo-yo either. Who said girls? Not me. You, I'll talk to later, but as for the rest of you, read on and learn something from
the biggest wheel in town.
Now, this era of Plastic Man, he's got lots of hanger-on friends whose names I can't remember. I'm astonished that I remembered Michelin's name, his girlfriend, I guess. But it's dusk in the great city. As pictured on the cover, as Plastic Man and his pal, Gordon K. Trueblood, that's Gordon K. Trueblood, they give us his name here, luckily, or I'd never remember, race along the piers. We learn that Michelin Duluth's ship is not due to dock till dawn. She's rich, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And her mother hates Plastic Man.
Mm-hmm. She does.
but it seems that the harbor pilot boat is going out to meet the yacht, and Plastic Man thinks to surprise Michelin.
Mm-hmm.
But they're too late. The pilot boat just left the pier.
But Plastic Man has a solution. He quickly stretches his arms out to the pilot boat and then makes a giant set of surf skis with his feet and tells
Gordon
to jump on.
Hop on, Gordy.
And they surf behind the boat.
And aboard the pilot boat, the captain realizes something is holding them back.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells his dim-witted stooge, who's also his nephew, Melvin, to check out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Melvin assumes that he forgot to untie the line when they left the pier.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets an axe and chops Plastic Man's arms off. The end. No, Plastic Man sees the trouble coming and he... then stretches his nose.
Mm-hmm.
That's his nose that he's turned into a boat propeller. How would that work exactly?
I don't know. How does he make it spin?
Well, the same way that the Flash makes his arms spin to make a tornado.
I was wondering how you would answer that, and I was going to answer it with the Flash.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Samantha can twitch her nose. It's the same principle on Bewitched.
Yeah, I guess it's not going to... Maybe he creates a plastic hinge. Who knows?
He can turn his body into anything. That's the difference between him and Elongated Man. Elongated Man could just stretch. Plastic Man can actually transform his body into different things. Some people say that he's the god Dionysus.
Really?
In disguise. Well, not... Some people. Grant Morrison said that.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Meanwhile, aboard the SS Mal de Mer, translate that for us, Dr. Husband.
Bad sea.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Michelin's mother is holding a ball for her, but Michelin is sad because her bell only rings for Plastic Men.
Mm-hmm. That peasant... I spend $100,000 on this little trip to help you forget him. Just look at all the wonderful men who've been rushing here to take Rupert there.
You take him. All right, Rupert is a snivelly-nosed...
Kennedy boy.
A what?
Kennedy boy.
Yeah, he is horse-faced, like the Kennedys.
Mm-hmm.
His mother is bossing him around.
She looks like a prune with legs.
Yes.
Doesn't she?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Crucial clue here, Rupert is afraid of girls.
Mm.
So I think I've got him figured out pretty well.
Already.
Mm-hmm. He's also tied his shoes together so he can't walk across the room. And afraid of girls, overbearing mother, yes, Rupert's got a secret, which we won't learn in this issue.
No.
But if you read between the lines.
Yes, one will know. So the mother says, oh, forget about that, Rupert. We'll have a look at the wonderful Haverford sluice. Now there's a man, polo player, rifle champion, skin diver.
And general bum about town.
Mm.
Do you suppose Michelin talks like Little Glory in Auntie Mame?
Yes. Ooh. I can't tell you how pleased I am to make your acquaintance.
All right. Haverford Sluice has sent a bottle of champagne to Miss Dilute's cabin.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently he's in arrears. He already owes.
Three champagnes, four orchids, and five shoeshines.
All right. It seems this cat is out of money. He wants Michelin for her money.
He's borrowing on...
Like Lord Grantham.
Oh, dear.
Trying to get a wife to get her fortune.
Mm-hmm.
All right. He's already given this waiter his watch, his tie pin, and his silver cufflinks. He has nothing left except his gold belt buckle, which the waiter gladly takes. Rupert will like the sound of that. All right. The mother admits that Haverford Sluice isn't the right one either. But surely, Michelin, you must admit that the Duke of Wheelington is something else.
Something else is right. I'm not sure what.
Now, this Duke of Wheelington is an elderly gentleman. He's got no hair on his head, a handlebar mustache, buck teeth, and a monocle.
Mm.
So, back up, ladies.
Back up, ladies.
Do you know what else I thought of recently?
What?
Do you remember about 35 years ago when we were at Chipotle in College Park, Maryland?
Okay, that's an exaggeration because that wasn't 35 years ago, but it was
25
years ago. Yeah.
And we were in line, mm-hmm. and a young man rolled in on his skateboard.
Yes.
Ditched to the front of the line.
Yes.
Kicked up his skateboard and said, "Sorry, ladies, I'm taken.
I remember that. We thought that was so funny.
I wonder where that young man is now.
He's probably a politician.
Or an investment banker.
Mm. Oh, that was so funny, wasn't it?
Yes. God love him.
He was so cocksure.
I don't even remember what he ordered. I was so...
We'd laughed.
I know.
That was the funniest thing. And he wasn't... He was just like... He just came in riding his skateboard, popped it up and said, "Sorry, ladies, I'm taken. I'll have this." We both were like, that's the funniest thing we'd ever seen. Life in a college town.
Mm. Gee, I haven't eaten Chipotle in 2 years.
Oh, my God. I don't think I'd keep the whole thing down.
No.
Yeah.
Not with my new calorie counting plan.
Mm-mm.
That'd be like 1,500 calories for a burrito.
Easily.
Yeah.
That's like all I eat in a day.
I know.
I mean, that's not true, but just almost.
Almost.
Caloric intake, yeah.
All right. I've already forgotten this fellow's name. Duke of Wheelington.
Swath Buckler.
What?
I have no idea. Wheelington. I've got to remember this. Okay, the girl's name is...
Michelin.
Wheelington.
You see the pattern?
Yes.
You see it?
Mm-hmm.
He's got a stooge that is beating up on the waiter because the waiter didn't bring the correct champagne.
Right. And the waiter is clearly... the stooge is clearly Italian.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like an Italian boxer.
And...
He says da wine and dat instead of that and the.
He's also extremely stupid.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we have a comical scene where the waiter gets beaten to a pulp. And then the Duke of Wheelington approaches Miss Dilute, wanting to dance. And she says...
I can't think of anything I'd rather do except maybe die.
Ha ha ha. Just then Plastic Man arrives.
With a fish tucked into his pocket. Into his chest pocket or something.
Jerkin. What do we call this top that he's got on?
A jerkin seems good.
Open to the navel, of course, because that's how all the manly men do it.
Mm.
She's very glad to see him. She's going to dance with him. The Duke of Wheelington reminds him that this dance is by invitation only, and he's going to get bustled out if he doesn't have one.
Well, he quickly, behind his back, scratches an invitation with his fingers. I don't know, with scratching it on paper, I guess.
No, onto his other hand. He turns his hand into a piece of paper and scratches the invitation on it.
And then gives it to the man who is controlling the room entry.
Yes.
And says, "Here you are, my invitation."
And then sets out on a jolly foxtrot with Michelin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Duke of Wheelington can't be bothered to continue with this. He's got to get up to the bridge.
Which, the premise of this story is ridiculous. Is this what all Plastic Man adventures are like?
At this time, yes.
I mean, we've had some pretty crazy stories, but the conflict in the story is unbelievable.
Well, now this, in hindsight, we learn that this story is taking place on Earth 12, which is the same Earth as the Inferior Five and Jerry Lewis and Bob Hope. And
okay.
That crowd.
Makes sense. Okay.
Now, Plastic Man was historically more lighthearted, but usually a little more intelligently presented. Now, the Duke of Wheelington has gone to the bridge to inform the captain that he cannot steer the boat anymore because the Duke of Wheelington owns the wheel.
This steering wheel, sir?
Yes, this very wheel. And not only that particular wheel, but all wheels. You see, sir, I am the legitimate recipient of the international patent for
the wheel.
What?
That's crazy.
How's that for a story premise? And wait till you see what lies ahead. You might say this yarn has wheels within wheels. All right. Somebody radios the shore and says that the company's attorneys say they have to check it out, which will take about 72 hours, which means the ship has to sit there anchored for 3 days.
Right.
And the captain goes to tell the passengers, but he's forbidden from using the elevator because it's operated by hundreds of wheels. All right, the captain finally gets to the passengers, informs them that they can't land without steering and they can't steer without a wheel, which is owned by the Duke of Wellington. And Plastic Man says that's nonsense. You can land without a steering wheel. And the reason is the Plastic Man's going to turn himself into a rudder and steer them back to shore and also turn himself into a sail.
That's what he does.
It's an expert piece of navigation.
Interesting thing there at the top left, having myself worked on a cruise ship.
Yes.
The captain says, "Well done, Plastic Man. An expert piece of navigation. But the delay has cost us 3 hours and a fortune in forfeited freight contracts.
Yes.
This is before Plastic Man forms a sail and sails them into the shore.
Right.
A cruise ship is not going to be able to carry enough freight on it to warrant its use as a freight vessel.
Well, excuse me.
A freight vessel needs to be able to have a hollow hull that allows them to put the freight inside, and then they also carry freight on top on the deck.
Yes, in big stacks of trailer truck containers. Yeah. I've seen it. I used to live by the docks.
But now that we're in Earth 12, I'm sure this is all just fine.
They have, Earth 12 has many multi-use ocean
Columbus
vessels.
Has docks, like where they load freight?
No, I was thinking of Jacksonville.
Oh, Jacksonville. Oh, wasn't that interesting watching those ships come in? Those gigantic ships. One time I went kayaking in the river, the intra-coastal waterway is there. And the currents were so strong, I had to stay close to the shore. But I knew when I was out there in the currents, I was like, wow, this is why these ships use these currents. This is huge. Like this, the strong currents were such that the channels were very deep.
Well, yes, I'm sure they were dredged out.
They were.
All right. They arrive back at the dock. The gentlemen of the press have arrived. Gordon assumes it's because they've heard that Plastic Man just performed a fantastic feat, and they want an interview, but they...
They want to interview the guy who owns all the wheels.
Yes.
The wheels.
The Duke explains that, yes, it's true. My grandfather, 88,000 generations removed, was a caveman genius.
Urgly the Ugly.
And Grandpa Urgly invented the wheel in 22,189 B.C., I don't think the wheel was invented that early.
No, and I don't think it was invented by cavemen.
Unless there was, as many people theorize, there was an advanced civilization on Earth prior to the Younger Dryas, roughly 12,000 years ago. Now, if this was Earth 1, I'd say, obviously, it was Atlantis where the wheel was invented. But we're not on Earth 1. So, maybe on Earth 12, cavemen did invent the wheel.
So?
I wonder if Earth 12 has a Vandal Savage, because he was a super intelligent caveman.
Oh, I
don't
know.
Who's immortal, who's still alive today.
You're kidding.
No!
What makes him immortal?
A meteorite. The same meteorite that gave Immortal Man his powers. We'll read about Immortal Man again soon.
Okay.
But, of course, Vandal Savage is a villain.
So, Windermere. No, Wellington.
Wellington?
Wellington is giving a press conference.
Yes, and it turns out he owns all wheels. Auto wheels, wagon wheels, Ferris wheels, and roulette wheels. You might say I am the big wheel. All right. Now, the press naturally follows up with the question, how can you have proof of a thing that happened in 22,189 BC? They couldn't keep records then because they had no written language. Wrong.
Wrong.
Grandpa Ergley also invented writing here on Earth 12.
So what civilization invented written language? The ancient Indians? I mean, ancient from the Fertile Valley of Punjab? Or the Chinese? Hang on.
I'm going to look it up.
The Indras, what is it called? What's the ancient Indian civilization called? Indras?
Writing developed independently in a handful of different locations, namely Mesopotamia and Egypt, roughly 3200 BC.
Okay.
China, 1200 BC, and Mesoamerica, one common era. Scholars mark the difference between prehistory and history with the invention of the first written language. Of course, we have lots of symbol representation way before then. And so we don't know if that might have been a written language. It just hasn't correlated with any kind of spoken language that we know of. Mm. Did that answer your question?
Yeah. So the oldest... They believe the oldest written language was
3000 BC, Mesopotamia.
Mesopotamia. Okay.
But I would argue that we just don't know. Yes, there was also the Indus Valley, Indus B script, which has never been deciphered yet. But that would have been in India, yes.
Yeah, and the Indus, that's where Hinduism was born.
Yes.
Yes, yeah.
We've never finished that movie.
There's five rivers that converge there.
We never finished that movie, Mohenjo-Daro.
We haven't?
Hrithik Roshan, your favorite.
Oh, we should.
I know. All right.
I learned all about, or rather I should say I taught all about the Bhagran dance form to my intro to music class.
Did you demonstrate it for them?
No, we watched videos, and I did play a little bit of Lagan for them.
That's my favorite Bollywood movie.
Love that movie.
It's probably the only one I've seen all the way through, but nonetheless, it's my favorite. All right. Michelin thinks this is dreadful that he's got a patent on the wheel. Plastic Man has no doubt that the government lawyers will have no trouble stopping him. A porter comes to get Michelin's bags, but he's knocked off by this goon of the Duke's because he's using a handcart, which has wheels. He's not allowed to use it.
Yeah.
All the passengers have to carry their own luggage. It turns out the Duke has licensed use of every wheel, $5 per wheel per use. It's another billionaire taking advantage of the middle class.
Exactly.
None of this luggage can be unloaded without paying blackmail. Plastic Man says it's even worse than that. There's 500 pounds of beluga caviar in the ship's hold. So you see, it was carrying freight.
Yeah, but it only carries enough freight to feed the passengers for a certain period of time. It has
500 pounds of caviar? That's a lot of caviar.
500 pounds of caviar would fit in a stack in this room.
But we wouldn't eat it all.
No, not in our whole lifetime.
All right, Plastic Man helps out by making himself into a luggage ramp off the ship, and they unload the luggage.
Thank God for Plastic Man.
Well, he's a scab because he's not union. The dock workers are salty about it.
Yeah, well, there's that. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
3 hours later in Washington.
Washington, D.C. That's the District of Columbia to you and me. Mm-hmm. Plastic Man is late for an emergency meeting with the Secretary of, I don't know, Secretary of Commerce, who knows? Meeting with Plastic Man. The president has asked for an immediate plan on handling this wheel problem, and the first person they call is Plastic Man, naturally. Because who else are they going to call on Earth 12? Bob Hope? Super hip? Plastic Man's there, though. It turns out he's turned himself into the hot phone, hotline phone.
He's been there all along.
Yes. All right. The Duke of Wellington is now demanding 10 cents a year rental for every wheel, which doesn't sound unreasonable, but it's estimated that there are 20,000 billion wheels in the world. At 10 cents apiece, he wants $2 trillion.
God.
Our legal people advise us to pay his demands for all emergency vehicles, fire, police, and military, and discontinue using all other wheels until we can fight this thing in court. Well, I've got some bad news for you.
What?
He's Duke of Wellington has bought the Supreme Court. He's bound to win.
Oh, hell yes. Yeah.
What can I do, says Blastikman? Well, you can use your extraordinary talents. For instance, stretching your ear up to the Hotel El Porto's window where the Duke of Wellington is making his plans and looking at his family tree.
See if you can gain some information.
Yes.
So there's the Duke of Wellington going through a chart showing his family tree.
Yes.
He said, I was prepared. It was prepared by the world's greatest genealogist, Professor Sham. Sham as in everything's a sham.
Yeah, I got it.
He tells Diablo, his henchman, to get rid of his cigar. And then when Diablo doesn't pay attention to him, Wellington chucks the cigar right out of the window and into Blastikman's ear.
Which is stretched up from the ground. Mm-hmm. The henchman realizes it's Blastikman. He grabs the ear, shouts into it, and then Blastikman does something very interesting. He turns his ear into a mouth with teeth.
And bites
the henchman's nose.
Mm-hmm.
And then stretches up and punches him. And then stretches up into the window.
Why are you putting H's where they don't
belong? Because this is the Duke of Wellington's window. And he's going to draw his
sword.
And skewer Blastikman. Well, that never works.
No,
Blastikman's made of plastic.
Yes, he just absorbs the impact and directs the sword right back into the Duke of Wellington's chest. And then two of Duke of Wellington's toadies try to attack Blastikman.
Yes.
And Blastikman rolls around and knocks him over.
Yes.
And then they start throwing things at him.
Yeah.
And he catches them in his ever-expanding mouth.
Yes.
And then expels them at the henchmen all of one time.
I have a very favorite panel of Blastikman. I can't remember the issue. It's Brave and the Bold, number 150-something. We guested on The Brave and the Bob with Billy and talked about this issue. And it's where Blastikman and Batman are stopping some Christmas thieves.
Mm-hmm.
And there's fake snow because they're in Florida. And Blastikman makes a funnel out of the top of his head to suck in the fake snow, and then he blows it out of his mouth. It's the greatest thing I've ever seen.
All right, I don't remember that.
Well,
I thought you were going to see Blastikman turn himself into a vacuum cleaner.
Well, essentially.
And his mouth was used as a vacuum cleaner.
In reverse, yes. Like a shop vac.
Mm.
With no water.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, the Duke is very angry that Blastikman has disabled his henchmen.
And he says, if I had one ounce of sympathy for the world, you've dissolved it all. I'll show them no mercy. So then, everybody has to pay a toll who's using the car. And then
10 cents per wheel.
Everybody learns that they all start blaming Plastic Man, which I think is, come on, are you kidding me? Really?
Because the Duke controls the media. That's why. Even little children on their tricycles are being forced to pay 10 cents per wheel. This would not be the right year for Plaz to run for president.
No.
But read on.
Here we go.
All right. The townspeople have made the best of their situation. They've got pogo sticks. They've got this woman walking upon a yoga ball. I think that should count as a wheel.
I think so, too. There's another man who's perambulating around in a balloon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lots of graffiti on the walls, down with Plastikman.
Kill Plastikman.
Meanwhile, the elites who can afford to pay the tax are driving through town getting pelted with tomatoes, which, of course, has put a run on tomato sales, and so tomato prices have gone up, up, up. Eating tomatoes are only 25 cents a pound, but throwing tomatoes are 50 cents a pound because they're specially processed not to leave fingerprints.
Indeed.
Because the government is 100% tracking anyone who's going against the Duke of Wellington.
Oh, yeah. That never happens on
and
any earth.
Inside a limousine traveling across town, it's Mrs. Dilute cursing about the peasants. I did not expect this issue to be so prescient about our current global situation.
Neither did I.
But here she is complaining about the peasants just because we're rich enough to afford four wheels. Tell the chauffeur to run them over.
Run over everybody who's in
run
the
over the people in the streets.
Yeah, people in the streets.
Well, this butler can do better than that. He's got a submachine gun and guard. He's going to shoot them down dead. Plastikman's there. He absorbs the bullets. Because, of course, he hates Mrs. Dilute.
The
anyway.
Guy who's got the machine gun is firing at the people that are throwing tomatoes.
Yes. Plastikman saves them. And what?
So the people are protesting by throwing tomatoes.
They're protesting
the
rich,
and the rich people are responding by firing weapons at them.
Yes.
That never happens.
No. And after Plastikman saves them, they throw the tomatoes at him.
Yeah, that's
because he's the one that made the Duke of Wellington angry.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Plastikman makes a quick escape. And in the days that follow, poor Michelin.
Poor Michelin.
Plastikman has vanished. She doesn't care if he's the biggest goof up in town. She still loves him. Well, her mother's heart bleeds for her, though I never liked Plastikman. I always felt a certain, what is the word?
Hatred.
That's the word.
But you must be practical, Michelin. Plastikman may never return, and you're so young and so beautiful.
That's true, Mumsy.
Ah, I'm glad you're being reasonable. Just a moment, I've someone waiting to see you. All right, Duke, she's all set up for you. But I want the terms of our deal clear. If you marry my daughter, I get all my wheels free of charge.
This is like that terrible mother in The Umbrellas of Cherbourg who set up her daughter with the rich men, and she loved the poor soldier boy. The soldier boy had to go away to war, and she felt forced to marry the rich man. And then years later, she's pulling into a gas station, and who do you think owns the gas station?
The poor boy.
The poor soldier boy.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got a child, and it's his. It's spoiler alert, but you should watch The Umbrellas of Cherbourg if you've never seen it. Would you like me to sing the theme song?
Go ahead.
If I wait forever, I will wait for you. Na na na, the prong prong. It's in French. All right. Now, she gets all her cars for free, including three limousines, four sedans, two station wagons, and a lawnmower. He agrees that she will get all those things for free, and she says, then take my daughter, please, with my blessing.
And she does a royal court bow.
Yes, she does.
We learned that, didn't we?
We did in History of Dance.
Mm-hmm.
All right. They go out riding in the open-air limousine, the Duke and Michelin, and the populace is cheering them. You see how fickle they are?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she thinks they're coerced because they have to cheer, because if they don't,
they're all Antifa. They were paid by
George Soros.
George Soros.
It's so funny. You'd never see anyone bow to power these days.
No.
Just to get in someone's good graces.
Not in a democracy.
No, it's crazy talk. Mm. The imagination of these writers. All right. They're going to be married soon. They're going to live in his hometown,
Wellington, West Virginia. Now, if you're not familiar with West Virginia, there's a place called Wheeling.
Wheeling, West Virginia. And no rich people live there.
Mm-hmm.
Nor would they want to. All right. They stop at City Hall because the mayor has prepared a contract for the Duke of Wellington to sign for $200 million. And Michelin suggests that while they're there, they can look over the building in case he wants to move in next year. The entire police force has turned out like the...
Wasn't that interesting? Like a police force, guards
yeah.
have turned out because the rich man wants them to.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen in a democracy.
No. There's one policeman who tries to raise an objection, say we should have fought this foreigner. And a foreigner coming into America and making rules about things. That's so funny. The police are ordered to roll out the red carpet. Turns out the red carpet is Plastic Man.
Oh, no.
Hurrah! The flexible flop. All right. The Duke is throwing some insults, but Michelin sure is glad to see him.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been so happy to see anybody since I came to in the emergency ward at Ski Valley. I don't get that joke, but... all right. The police now are attacking Plastic Man. They think he's in on it with the Duke.
Yeah, they're using excessive force. They're
yes.
strangling
them. That's excessive force from an American police? Police force?
No.
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 Come on. This is fantasy. All right. Plastic Man, however, has a surprise for the Duke. He's been spending his time missing in action to get on Ancestry.com, and he's got some information to share. At the root of my family tree, you'll find an ancestor of mine who predates Urgly the Ugly by 100 years.
What?
My grandfather, 88,005 generations removed, invented man-made fire.
Grizzly the Sizzly, they called him.
Well, that's very nice, says the Duke. You can collect royalty every time you find a Boy Scout rubbing two sticks together.
He says, I'm afraid you don't dig me, Duke. Fire, Dookie Wookie, is the basis of all manufacturing, so all other patents were derived from mine. This monocle, for example, is made from glass that had to first be melted by fire.
Boink. And this sword is made from steel. Tempered in fire.
This cloak was made on looms produced by tools that were shaped by fire.
That goes for your shirt, pants, shoes, socks, and... Thank you for stopping, Plastic Man.
Mm.
No, but not only is he hairless on the top of his head, but everywhere else. Now, there's just one more thing the Plastic Man needs to say, but it's meant for your ears alone, so I'll have to whisper it to you, your fraudship.
Oh.
He turns his lips into a giant tube, sticks it inside the Duke's ears, and starts blowing. And what do you think happens?
Go on.
The Duke's head starts blowing up like a balloon.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out that his head is a mask, and inside is their old friendly fiend, Dr. Dome. He's the real Duke. Dr. Dome is the recurring villain in yes. Plastic Man, in case you're new here, listener. A henchman pulls up in a car, tells Dr. Dome to get in. He grabs Michelin, throws her in the car, and the police can't even chase him down because they don't have any cars. They had to give up all their cars.
That's stupid.
Luckily, Plastic Man can turn his whole body into a wheel.
The policemen just don't want to chase him down.
No, they're lazy.
Mm-hmm.
Lazy policemen in the United States of America.
Oh, you don't want to make people think that we're against policemen.
We are not against the police.
At all.
We are absolutely for the police.
As long as they don't use excessive force on civilians.
Correct. And as long as they obey all the relevant laws.
Laws, exactly.
All right. Plastic Man overtakes the car, which has stopped at a building. Dr. Dome is dragging Michelin inside, and now we get to the cover scene. He locks her in a top story room and sets the place on fire. Well, Plastic forms himself into a ladder. He's going to stretch up and save Michelin, but just then, Dr. Dome appears at a lower level window and starts firing a gun at Plastic Man, and the bullets are going through him because Dr. Dome has diamond-tipped bullets, which I don't see why that would make a difference.
I guess they cut right through the plastic.
I suppose. All right, Plastic Man needs a new plan. First, he does a super back bend, and then he turns himself into a trampoline, and Michelin jumps, bounces off the trampoline, back up into the window where Dr. Dome is, smacks him across the face, and floats gently back to the ground to deliver
a kiss
to her hero, Plastic Man.
To her mother and father say, her mother and Gordon say, disgusting. And that's the end.
Why would Gordon think it's disgusting?
I don't know.
Is he also afraid of girls?
Ooh.
He looks the type.
He does.
Well, that's Plastic Man. This is a revival of Plastic Man from the 1967, obviously. Mm-hmm. Plastic Man was a long-running comic series in his own series, as well as starring in police comics from Quality Comics in the 40s, drawn and written by the incomparable Jack Cole. Quality Comics was then acquired by DC Comics, which is how we got Black Hawk. And Carmine Infantino wanted to use Plastic Man in the pages of The Flash, but he didn't realize that Plastic Man was owned by DC. That's why they invented the Elongated Man.
Oh.
But then somebody remembered that they owned Plastic Man, so they brought him back.
Somebody remembered.
And this is, at this time in history, this is supposedly the son of the original Plastic Man.
Okay.
But who's relegated now to Earth 12. I guess he doesn't really exist. Until we, the 70s, we get Baby Plaz.
God, Baby Plaz.
What? Baby Plaz was the best.
You think?
Yes. Anything to add?
I used to watch the Plastic Man cartoon on Saturday mornings.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's where Baby Plaz was. That's
pretty good.
With his girlfriend Penny?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he have a dog too? Or was that different dog, that Muttmouth? What was his name? He had a doghouse on his head, was his mask. He was a superhero dog.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Oh, it was the same show, I think.
Okay.
Plastic Man Comedy Hour, or I'll look into it and report back next week.
All right.
By the way, a listener, if you remember last week, we got all the pop culture-y references.
Yes.
Except for the Man from U.N.C.L.E., the boss of the Man from U.N.C.L.E. was named Ivanhoe, whereas on the TV show he was named Waverly.
Okay.
Well, apparently, who wrote Ivanhoe? Now I can't remember.
Ivanhoe?
Yes. It's a novel. It takes place
in... Robert Louis Stevenson?
No. Walter Scott. Sir Walter Scott.
Okay.
He also wrote a novel called Waverly, and so that was the connection.
Oh, okay.
Which, that's pretty highbrow.
That is.
Humor for the inferior five.
Well done, listener.
Yes. Thanks, Dale. Anything to add?
No.
You can find us on social media at GoGoCheckPod. You can rate and review us wherever you get your podcast. You can find us on our sister podcast, Nerd Orchestra. And you can find us right back here next week with the Justice League
of America.
That's assuming I make it back to town, what with the travel delays.
Oh, my gosh.
If not, you know, we'll set it up remotely.
Oh, okay.
Do Zoom.
Hmm.
Don't worry. If I have to, I'll rent a car and drive home 3,000 miles.
It'll take you 2 days.
I don't care. I love to drive.
Did you order dinner?
No. Why?
Someone pulling up to our house.
I don't know. Maybe it's Amazon.
Did you order something?
No.
Oh, I did. Yeah.
Bye.
You don't have to be a politician. You can change it all with a Senate disposition. So be happy. spread it all around. If you find yourself a frowning, just turn it upside down. When you wear a smile, the world will shout, hooray! You gotta turn on the sunshine. You gotta give in one time. You gotta turn on the sunshine. Push those blues away! Man, this dialectic's too much.